demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Big story of the day. We'll go Broncos here. Justin Simmons not happy with the label that Kareem Jackson is getting as far as being called a dirty player. Went on to talk about the letter that President of Football Operations John Runyan wrote to Kareem Jackson on the suspension, which we all know has now been reduced to 2 games. The letter says, on the play in question, you delivered a forceful blow to the head neck area of a defenseless receiver. When you had the time and space to avoid such contact, you could have made contact with your opponent within the rules, yet you chose not to. Runyan noted that in that letter that Jackson had multiple instances of violations of player safety rules. We all know Jackson has been fined 4 times this season for unnecessary roughness for a total of $89,670. And he was ejected from a Week 2 loss to Washington after a hit on their tight end Logan Thomas. Now, Justin Simmons coming out firing. You don't hear a fiery Justin Simmons a lot. I've interviewed Justin Simmons. He's a really great guy. He's a really nice guy. Justin said, even referring to the letter that was sent to Kareem, that in so many words, calling him a dirty player, that bothers me as a teammate. I would not be half the player I am if it wasn't for Kareem, if it wasn't for the knowledge he has bestowed upon me, both on the field and off. The whole dirty player thing, the whole dirty player analogy we're kind of trying to stick to his name and reputation is, excuse my language, absolute bull blank. Well, that's a lot to unpack. Is Kareem Jackson a dirty player, or does he just play like his hair's on fire? That's the kind of the thing about Kareem. At his size, he does have to play at an extreme level to stay in the league. Going back to the hit in question, the Green Bay game, obviously, initially, full speed, from the camera angles we're given, it did look like a terrible hit. It looked like helmet-to-helmet, defenseless receiver. Upon further review, it didn't look like helmet-to-helmet. However, the defenseless receiver thing still played out. How much of Kareem's suspension was that he was a repeat offender? Is this kind of like the letter of the law, Angel? If you get so many speeding tickets, you start losing points. So it's like, hey, I know this is your third. If it's your first offense, it's a speeding ticket, whatever. If it's like your third or fourth speeding ticket, you start to get in a little more trouble. The fines get a little bit bigger. Even though this instance of speeding wasn't as bad as the last one, but they're mounting up. And I do believe that's a thing. Is that fair? Is it fair to judge a player off of their history, or should they be just going case by case? You put the blinders on and you just look at the hit itself. You can't look at the rest. Now, legal stuff or illegal stuff, when a player screws up and does something wrong, substance abuse, domestic abuse, things like that, they do it again, we all know it's even more of a severe penalty, and rightfully so. Should that be the same case when we're talking about on-the-field play? Should they be forced to, hey, listen, you can't base it off of that. You have to look at the hit-by-hit basis.
I'd be okay with it if it was just in that season. If you're getting multiple penalties like this in the season, then, yeah, we're going to look at your prior history. But also, I think the NFL is very focused on teaching how to tackle, how to hit players, and what not to do. And, you know, this stuff they get drilled in with training camp and the preseason and all that kind of stuff. And then when you go out on the field and do it, I have no choice but to penalize you. We told you not to do this. You've done it multiple times. Fine's not enough. You have to sit out a game.
I don't have as big of an issue as a lot of Broncos fans do with Kareem Jackson. And I know that puts me in dangerous territory of being considered not a true fan, because I disagreed with a hit that happened. It wasn't the worst hit I've ever seen. Should he have been ejected for that hit? Probably not. Again, full speed, and I know they go back and review it, but full speed, it looked terrible. It looked awful. Guy had his back to him, came, and then he kind of turns last second, and Kareem nailed him.
I think the tough part is that, I'm just watching it on replay here, it doesn't look like he is intending to wrap up and tackle him.
Right.
It's kind of my elbows, my hands are in a line across my chest, and I'm just going to push you. And then obviously when his head does lower a little bit to try to get low because you want to get leverage and try to hit him in the chest, if not hit the ball. And it looks a lot worse. But, you know, I think maybe if he goes at him with his arms out wide, like, I'm going to tackle you, then maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah,
because that way your head is up. You have to be looking at your target, not
right.
I'm going to put my arms down and just hit you.
You know, again, when you're in Pop Warner, when you're in high school, your junior high, whatever, that's you're taught form tackling, and that's a hit. There's a difference between a hit and a tackle, and I think that's what the NFL is really trying to get to, is more of a form type tackle. It's difficult in certain situations, but you're right; he could have formed it up
turning
right there
as he's, you know, catching.
Yeah.
And for Jackson, it's is he going to turn and stand up right, or is he falling backwards?
It's difficult.
And that's a split-second decision, so, yeah.
He looked defenseless. That was my first thing, is it did look defenseless. The helmet did kind of graze the bottom of the face mask there.
And he got mostly his shoulder.
But mostly the shoulder. It did look like he made the effort to raise that left shoulder up
in the last
second. And I think it looks worse
because the Packers player isn't stabilized on the ground at all.
Right. So you wouldn't have ejected him for that.
Probably not.
I don't think so. No. Penalty though?
Yes.
In this NFL, that's a penalty. Smitty says he should have been ejected for the hit in the end zone a few weeks back. That was headhunting at its worst. Are you talking about the Washington game? Because didn't he get ejected for that game?
I thought he did.
Yeah, I thought he did too. That was a bad one. This is a repeat offender fine and suspension. That's what this is. That hit right there does not warrant anything greater than what was given out on the field. Now, I usually am one of those guys that says, hey, whatever the refs say on the field is what you got to honor afterward. But I kind of go back on the maybe he shouldn't have been ejected for it. This is who he is as a player. Do I think he's a dirty player? I think he's an aggressive player that makes sometimes over-aggressive hits. I don't think he's a dirty player.
And also, considering the position he plays safety, more often than not, he is further away from the play. So to catch up, he has to run almost full speed.
Yes. You're going to see more safeties and corners get illegal hits. I mean, defensive ends get them and pass rushers because you're hitting the quarterback. But these guys are running at a full clip. They're running at full speed. You know? I'll tell you, yeah, that hit wasn't that bad. I'm watching it on a replay here. 14 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with the quarterback for the UNC Bears, Jacob Sermon, coming up next. The Bears hoping to get a dub. Going to be a tall task for the University of Northern Colorado as they get set to take on Montana. So that's going to be a big one coming up for the UNC Bears. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Rocking and rolling and on this Thursday, just 20 minutes after the hour. Joining me now, we catch up with Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Had some conflicting schedules with each other earlier in the week, but glad to get him on. All of our chats with Jacob, of course, are brought to you by Paul Dovenbarger at Shelter Insurance. And Jacob, you guys gearing up against this Montana team.
They beat Idaho 23-21. Jacob, the first thing that stands out to me when I look at Montana is, yes, they're 6-1. Yes, they're second in the Big Sky Conference, but every game in the Big Sky, at least it looks like, they've all been pretty close football games.
Yeah, absolutely. This team has a lot of talent and a lot of skill, but you know, I think every team in the Big Sky can win on any given Saturday. So we're excited to get up there and go compete.
And that's been, of course, I know the tough thing for you guys. It's kind of been the opposite effect of that. You guys are there in every single game, but just not able to kind of pull those things out. And everybody I talked to, Jacob, I was talking to the voice of the Bears, Blake Olson, the other day, and you can just hear it in everybody's voice. They're like, man, this Bears team, they are right there. They just being able to find ways to close these things out. Coach Lamb said the other day, he said, hey, we're a good football team with a terrible record. Is that kind of how you would summarize this group so far, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great way to say it. You know, I'd be lying to you if I said there weren't frustrations on my part at times, just because the nature of, you know, being a competitor and wanting to win these things and push them out. But we got guys making great plays across both sides of the ball, getting ourselves in positions to win. And then, you know, that's all you can ask for as far as, you know, continuing to take steps to put yourself in positions to make plays to ice these games out.
What is that like for you, man? I mean, again, and you and I have been talking a little bit, just there is a frustration. You guys are so close, but I know at some point you don't want to hear that anymore. You don't want to talk about that anymore, because at the end of the day, the record is what the record is. And that's got to get some, you know, get you to the point where, hey, I want to stop talking about it. I want to be ready to go here and just get that monkey off our back.
Yeah, no, that's always, it's always in the back of my mind. I do my best to try to focus on the moment, which is what everyone would say, but it's true, just because that's all you can control. And I find a lot of, you know, in these moments of frustration, it takes just takes a moment of reflection from my part to have a little bit of a paradigm shift, and my perspective alters back to what a blessed situation and opportunity I have to lead a group of men that I'm extremely close with and proud to be my teammates. And be a part of a team that has, you know, everything to play for, and the brightest days are still ahead of us.
Jacob Sermon joining us, quarterback for the UNC Bears. They're going to Montana this weekend. And I know this is a trip, too, that you were looking forward to, catching up with you last week, you know, just looking at the rest of the schedule. I know this is one of those you had circled.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, my earliest memories of hearing about college football were from my dad and his days playing at Montana. So being able to go play in the stadium that he, you know, spent his college days at, my mom and him met there. My younger brother is actually just committed to the Grizz, so I'm really thrilled for him to watch his career as it pans out. But it's a heck of a stadium. The fans will be loud. It'll be packed out. You know, I'm fired up for it.
Yeah, it is. It's an awesome experience there. And when you just look at, you know, the buy-in that Montana gets, and just the things that they put into that program, it is a fun place to go. It'll be an exciting opportunity for you guys. When you look at Montana, and again, the highlight for me is they've been close in a lot of these games. 23-21 over Idaho last week, and Idaho is a good football team. Giovanni McCoy was able to throw for, you know, almost 350 on Montana, and he tossed two touchdowns, but also two interceptions. So when you look at this defense, where do you see some of the obvious, not obvious, because when you're 6-1, I don't think there's any obvious things that they're going to give up as far as negatives, but what are some of those, you know, things on the defensive side that you look at and say, hey, we might be able to exploit that?
Yeah, you know, I think we have a good game plan going into this week. A lot of different shot opportunities, you know, quick game, intermediate, being able to balance that attack via the run and the pass, and just kind of take what the defense gives you. They're definitely talented at every position, and so just schematically putting our guys in the position to succeed and getting the ball out quick will be, I think, part of the recipe to our success.
talking to Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Again, these segments, these conversations with Jacob, presented by Paul Dovenbarger with Shelter Insurance. And it certainly will be a tall task, but looking at the rest of your schedule and just what you guys want to achieve, I know, again, we talked about it, the first portion of this schedule, more than the first portion of the schedule, hasn't gone the way you wanted to, but every single week we talk about it, they're right there. You look at it, you're at Montana, you're home against Idaho, which again is another good football team, at Northern Arizona, and then Portland State. Jacob, these next four games, aside from the wins, obviously I want to go 4-0 in the next four, but what would you really like to see from the offensive side of things?
Yeah, I just think we've got to keep taking steps forward, being able to deliver explosives, deliver points, find ways to get our playmakers the ball in space and get them into the end zone, which sounds simple when you put it that way. But there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of trust and there's a lot of variables that, you know, it starts with the O-line, it starts with the running backs, the quarterback, myself. And there's a lot of different ways that this you know, machine works together. And so continuing to trust the process there and then executing at a high level will hopefully take us in that direction.
Hey, man, go up against this top team, you know, one of the top teams in the Big Sky. And I tell you what, the way you guys have played, I'm not counting you out. You know, there might be a lot of people picking Montana to win this game. I don't know. But you guys have battled with everybody, including those teams like Sacramento State. They're 5-2. You know, we've seen what you guys are. Idaho State, you know, a lot of those games so close in. So I expect this Bears team to come out firing and at least give Montana a heck of a football game. And, hey, Jacob, why not just go ahead and pull off the upset, my friend?
Man, that'd be a sure joy.
We'll be rooting for you. Okay, Jacob, take care of yourself. Good luck this weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Paul Dovenbarger, Shelter Insurance, brings us those segments and shows and conversations each and every week. Angel, you can sense it. You know, with Jacob, it's tough. You can only say, hey, they're getting closer so much before you finally just say, I don't want to hear that anymore. You know, we got to find a way to get over that hump, and it is their hump to get over, by the way. It's Ed Lamb's hump to get over. They got to find a way to do it. And, you know, Montana's a great football team, but the way UNC has played, I wouldn't be shocked if this is a 1 or 2 score game midway through the fourth quarter.
No, I think it would be easy for this team to pack it in and say, hey, this isn't our year, and, you know, yeah, we're all working towards this big goal, and it's just not going to be this year, and I haven't seen that. That was one of my biggest things about this team before the season started was, are they going to hang their heads when it gets tough? Are they going to just doubt themselves? And I haven't seen that. They're competing. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, they're getting frustrated. Yeah, the buy-in is getting harder and harder to promote that and to get people motivated for it. But one win will turn this whole thing around for them.
One win, a trip to Montana, you win that game. I mean, right now, let's call it what it is. That's their Super Bowl. You know, that's their big game. They're not going to go to the playoffs. They're not going to finish in the top in the Big Sky Conference. But they have an opportunity to say, hey, we're going to go out. We got four games left. Try to find some positives here. And Jacob Sermon can still be a guy that helps leave that positive image, that lasting image of, hey, we turned it around the last four games. We can build off of that. And this could be a stretch that's remembered if the Bears do, in fact, turn it around. 28 minutes after the hour. Lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, Jesse Kurtz, going to join us next. Look forward to talking to him. Some big games coming up in the conference this week, so we'll catch up with Jesse about it in just a moment. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Every day is a new day. That's very, very true. Wise words there. And it's will it be a new day for Colorado State trying to go up against, trying to pull off something crazy against Air Force? Jesse, my man, Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Jesse, I know your head is all over the place because you're in the transition period. You got football, you got basketball. There's so many things. But for me, I'm a little slower than you. I have to still be in football mode, man. I can't do both.
I'm back full gear here. We okay, put good basketball to bed, at least from a promotion standpoint, for a couple of weeks for all those reasons that you identified, and we're going full throttle here at least for the next couple weeks on football. But you're right, basketball season's fast approaching, and we got to find a way to continue to pivot once we hit that crossover mark.
I know. That's why you're one of the best, my friend. But yes, on the football side of things, let's look at Air Force and CSU. You're familiar with all of these Mountain West teams, but of course, you're calling all these Air Force games. Where does this Air Force team rank so far in your mind? I mean, there's been some great Air Force football teams, but man, Jesse, it seems like there's something else. They're more of a powerhouse than I can remember in recent years.
Yeah, it's as good of any team that I've seen since I've been in Colorado Springs, and I moved here in 2002 and have been on the broadcast now for 12 seasons since 2012, and it's the best team that I've seen. The 2019 team, if I really had to split hairs, might be more talented. That team had all kinds of talent, and they went to the Cheez-It Bowl, beat Washington State, beat Colorado in Boulder. That team was really, really talented. This team here, though, this season has a ton of talent, don't get me wrong, but you're breaking in a first-year quarterback in Zach Larrier, who's been outstanding. And they may not match up talent for talent, but leadership, the way they carry themselves, and they just go about their business, that's what's made this team special. And it's cliche, Brady, when it's a week-to-week sort of thing where we don't focus on what's next. It's just what this team really, as best I can see, and I spent a good time with them, doesn't give a rip about being ranked in the top 20, doesn't give a rip about being the team that probably has pole position in the chase for a New Year's Six, doesn't give a rip that they're one of just a handful of teams that are still undefeated. They legitimately just focus on the game on Saturday. And I think that's pretty special, and I think it's the reason that maybe not as talented as some of the teams, probably is the best team that I've seen here so far through seven games.
And what? Talk to me about the situation last week, Jesse, because here I am on this show. I don't know how many times I said it. Zach Larrier's not playing. We'll see what happens, blah, 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 blah. And then next thing you know, boom, there he is, and he just broke a record for the longest passing, for the longest pass in Air Force history. So and he was my player of the week, too, Jesse. So that was quite the switch.
Yeah. So, I mean, when Coach said that he was out, that was based on what he has seen and certainly the medical opinions that he got. Larrier got better. I went to practice on Monday. He was not a participant, not at all. Jensen Jones was getting the number one reps, and then slowly through the week started feeling better, and then was cleared by the medical staff as if, look, what you can deal with, you can play. Wasn't going to re-injure the knee to the point where in a normal football play, now you're always at risk of injury, right? But if you can deal with the discomfort, then they were going to let him go. And as a senior who had never started a service academy game, your only chance to play Navy, your only chance to play at Navy in what has been a special year where he has yet to lose as a starting quarterback, if there was any way that Zach Larrier was going to be able to go, he was going to go. But on Tuesday, he certainly was not a go, but got better and got cleared. And on Saturday, saw him warming up, and I said, well, I guess the senior's going to give it a go. And he did, and it was a big lift because those guys love playing behind Zach Larrier.
He has such a great personality. I mean, the temperament, the way he goes about his interviews, his post-game stuff, all of it. He just carries himself so well. I challenge anybody not to root for that guy when they hear him and they watch him a little. Even if he's your rival, it's hard to go against this guy.
Yeah, he's fun. I mean, he's as humble as it comes. We've had quarterbacks across college football. When you're the quarterback, you have to think pretty highly of yourself. I mean, you are the guy, not only on the team, but on campus, right? Zach Larrier doesn't carry himself in that way, in any way. He's very humble. He's quick to deflect attention. He just loves going out there and just playing. And, when he gets out in the open field, he's as fun to watch as anybody with the speed that he has as a two-time 200-meter track champion in the Mountain West. So that's the challenge each and every week. Give Zach Larrier some space where he can work, and then he has been so incredibly good hitting the downfield pass, which is why Air Force right now leading the country in yards per completion. When they hit one, they really hit one, and they did last week to Dane Kinnaman for 94 yards.
That is the toughest thing, and that's why I love watching Air Force football, Jesse. I don't know if it's for everybody, but I absolutely love it. The idea that they just run some more. Oh, they're going to run again. And then, bam, out of nowhere. It is so exciting. It's almost like hockey, in a sense, where you just don't know when it's going to happen. But, bam, there it is. There's the goal you've been waiting for. And that's why they're such a fun team to watch. They're coming into this game, according to ESPN, at 12.5-point favorites. This could get interesting quickly for Colorado State. I worry about this Rams team, Jesse.
So, that's funny, because I think 12 points is way too much. I'm not a betting guy, but I think
it's a lot.
I think Colorado State is probably the most talented team that Air Force is going to play all year. I really think that what Colorado State and where they have the advantages and maybe where they have their best players is what gives Air Force fits at times, and that's some speed. Mo Kamara is as fast as a guy you're going to see off the edge defensively. Torrey Horton is as fast of a wide receiver and as good of a downfield playmaker as you're going to see. Dallin Holker, same at his position. All of those things, physicality, I've always said physicality has never, ever intimidated an Air Force team. You go to Michigan, bigger players, maybe more physical, stronger, they'll match up because you hold the block for a second and a half, and you can get guys by them. Speed, you can't just continually block. Speed eventually catches up with you, regardless of how many times you block them. And CSU has that. Now, CSU has struggled a little bit in the past, obviously, with Air Force and with what Air Force brings to the table, especially offensively. But the talent that Colorado State has, the edge with which they're playing right now, and the speed, I really think gives Air Force a very, very big challenge here on Saturday up in Fort Collins.
Yeah, and the weather's going to be interesting, of course, Jesse, as we know. I was going to say I might be able to see you there, but we've been talking about it. Our sales manager is getting married this weekend, and he picked the coldest day so far. So I will be at that, unfortunately. But the Falcons and the Rams will have to deal with the snow as well. I don't think the Falcons are too concerned about that, though.
No. Weather has never concerned this team. Now, weather obviously plays a factor when the ball is in the air, whether it's through the pass game or in a pitch game. But I'll go back to the bowl game against TCU in Fort Worth. I've grown up in Colorado. I've been to Air Force Academy games now for 20-plus years. We have some cold home games. There have been some bone-chilling games. I've never been to a colder game, not hyperbole. This is the absolute truth. The coldest game I've ever been to was the bowl game in Fort Worth against Baylor in December. Wind chills well below zero, 40-mile-an-hour winds, real temperature outside was like 8 degrees. It was absolutely brutal. Baylor wanted nothing to do with being there, absolutely nothing. I heard that from folks that were on their side, and you could see it with your own two eyes. Our guys loved it. Our guys loved that they were ready to tap out because of the conditions before the game had even kicked off. So you're right. Weather will not, at least mentally, play a factor. It certainly always plays a factor when the ball is in the air. But if Air Force can limit the amount of pitches that they need, run a little bit more predetermined carries, which they run a lot of those, some quarterback keepers, I don't think the snow will impact too much on the offensive side.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite of Air Force. I will be very cold. It will be the ceremony will be outside, Jesse. So I'm the opposite. I will crumble.
By the way, that was never cleared through me. We had plans. You and I had plans.
No. Hey, I tried. I did all I could, but you know that's just how it goes sometimes. I guess, right?
All right. You got to root for the paycheck, man, and you got to be where you got to be.
Absolutely, man. All right, so Wyoming, Boise State, the Cowboys, man, they get a week off last week. They had a great game against Air Force, couldn't pull it off. Now they got to go do something they've never done. They've never won on the blue field there, Jesse. So this is an interesting spot for the Cowboys. I feel like there's been a lot of years as of late where it feels like the Cowboys get off to a good start. Maybe they shock a lot of people that didn't count on them doing so well, and then they drop a game or two that would put them in the ultimate spot there to finish in the top of the Mountain West. So this is a big game coming up for the Cowboys.
It really is. By the way, it seems like Wyoming it has been off for like 5 weeks.
Oh my gosh!
When I was going through my prep, it's like they really haven't played since Air Force. I was like, well, I guess it's okay. But look, yeah, this is a statement game for Wyoming on many, many levels. Obviously, as you mentioned, 0-8 all time on the blue in Boise, going up there, a chance to beat, you know, the blue blood in the Mountain West since they've been around, pun intended, and to more or less continue to tell everyone in the Mountain West that this team, to your point, is not going to be fading, despite the one loss in conference to Air Force, that they're going to be here all the way through November. Well, if you're going to do that, this all but is an elimination game, right? The loser of this game will have a really hard time probably climbing back into a Mountain West championship picture, although Wyoming would have that tiebreaker with Fresno State. But two losses can be really tough to get into a championship game with the way that Air Force is tracking, with the way that Fresno State is tracking. So this is one of those games, if you want to be in a championship game and be in the conversation to continue to host, you can't lose this game for either team. This is a Boise State team that it's been a disappointing start, no question, in Boise. They expect a lot. But of the seven games they've played, four games have been decided by 3 points or less. Five games have been decided by one possession or less. So it's one of those teams that they're a few plays away from being a one-loss team, so a very dangerous Bronco team. You can't sleep on a program that's had this amount of success, and that just adds to this is a chance for Wyoming to make a statement that they will be here throughout the fall.
Jesse Kurtz joining us, lead anchor for the Mountain West Network. It's a big weekend in the Mountain West. We talked about those two games, all pretty important. UNLV Fresno State, how about that one on FS1 at 8:30? I might be home in time to catch that one. That could be great. I'm looking forward to this game.
Yeah, raise your hand if at the start of the season you had this game as a battle between 2-6-1 teams.
Yeah, no way. Zero chance.
Right. And this, again, just like that game up in Boise, could be an elimination game as it relates to getting into a championship game. And UNLV, with what they did against Colorado State, that last, you know, final-minute drive where they get into field goal range and kick the game winner, they've won five in a row for the first time since 1984. They're getting votes in the polls for the first time since 2003, and they're bowl eligible for the first time since 2013. But now the schedule gets a lot tougher for UNLV. They've got Fresno State. They've got Air Force. Things are going to get a lot tougher for Barry Odom and company. But again, what they've done so far, they beat an SEC opponent. They've blown teams out, scored 40 or more points, I think, five times, and then show some resiliency against Colorado State. Here is a statement game for UNLV in 2023. Can you go on the road and beat a team that, you know, is predicted since the start of the year to be in the Mountain West championship conversation, came out of the gates very fast with wins against Arizona State and Purdue. If you're UNLV and you think that you're going to be a championship contender, you got to go to Fresno and beat the Bulldogs.
So many important games in this conference, Jesse. Great work as always covering this conference, and I know you got to get rolling, but we appreciate your time, and I'm sorry I'm going to miss you this weekend, my friend.
Man, you owe me. You owe me, and I will hold you accountable.
Yep, double. We'll double it. Whatever we're ordering, we'll double it. All right, Jesse, appreciate you, man.
Take care, bud.
Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. No, it's football. I love football, but I watch a lot of it. I'd much rather be at Tanner and Jenna's wedding. No question about it. Angel, you feel the exact same way. There's nothing going on, man. Yeah, we'll be. You hear the shake in my voice a little bit.
I joked with Tanner, you picked a great week because this is the one time Bama has a bye week. So it's like perfect, and that's the only thing.
I think that's part of what
Where I'm from this. In the South, you don't plan weddings on Saturdays in the fall. You just don't do it.
Yeah, well,
because it's football Saturday. Yeah. Can't do it.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the way it
is. Unless you're okay with me being on the phone or checking score updates. I don't know.
I would say the way it is in Colorado is it's not – well, that's the way they do it in Colorado. If you're a diehard – if you're a football fan, you're not – if you have a group and your family's all into football and stuff, yeah, you're not doing weddings. But the part of that, Angel, is Tanner's a sports person and Jenna is probably not. So who's going to win that argument? That's where that goes. Now, my wife is not necessarily a sports person, but for some reason she was just like, summer wedding. That's where it's at. That's what we're doing. So
Tuesday.
It worked out for me.
Is that the day?
It was a Tuesday. Yeah.
Was it?
No, it was a Saturday. Ah. It was a Saturday. 30th of June.
There you go.
29th. 29th or 30th. Well, one of those 2 days.
Better figure it out.
I have it written up somewhere.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
You don't want to
forget. Yeah, you don't want to forget. But yeah, it'll be fun this weekend. Although, it just happens to be, it's going to be the coldest day so far. I mean, last Saturday was perfect. But here we go. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Just bundle up, Angel. You'll be good. It'll be good. Bring the earmuffs and mittens and all that stuff. Maybe some liquid courage as well. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll wrap up hour number two. We got Thursday Night Special coming up in the final hour of the program. It's the whole show. Powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310KFKA.
Angel, I've been having a fun time this week watching NBA games. I have already watched 4 games since we tipped this thing off. 4 games in 2 nights. Now, that's a lot for some people because a lot of people don't like out-of-market basketball. They just like your team. There's a lot. I know we talked a little bit about how, again, the Nuggets are getting pushed aside, and that sucks. But there are still, like, unique stories in the NBA.
Wembanyama.
We just call him Wemby.
Wemby.
Yeah. Wemby. He's going to be something else. He's a spectacle, dude. I mean, it's going to take him time to get to complete his game, but he's a good player.
Physically, yeah, he's incredible and fun to watch. I think he is still going through that transition to the NBA game, and I think obviously it's different from Western versus Eastern Conference teams, though just the style is just a little different. But I'll be interested in once he starts going against these, you know, big-name bigs. I don't know if Dallas really has one, so when he goes up against Jokic and Jokic and Giannis and Gobert, what's he going to do against those guys?
I mean, it's going to be smart players, too, that really take advantage of his youth. That sounded bad. When Nikola Jokic goes up against him, Angel, he's going to get him in foul trouble. And that's what Wemby did last night. He got in early foul trouble, so he wasn't really a part of that third quarter. He gets in the fourth, and he was playing some good basketball. He still made some silly turnovers, and he tried to take on a double team and shoot it at the free throw line. Like, he's still going to do that. But when he gets going, he's pretty good. He did a little crossover dribble, pulled up for three. Tanner was talking about him. You know, why on the offensive side, get him in the paint. He can play outside of there. He's tough to guard. He is pretty quick. He's kind of like a very, very, very good version of Bol Bol.
Yeah, and it's kind of the defensive strategy. If you can get on a switch and pull Wemby out of the paint, you're going to feel better about driving into it, but also he's going to take away your long-range threes.
That's the tough part about how tall he is, too, because he can block a shot. He can be at the one corner of the free throw line, and then another player can be on the opposite wing. He can almost jump up from there and block a shot when it's on its initial rise, its initial launch point.
Mid-range jumpers that Jamal and KCP do, those are getting blocked.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to figure out different ways to shoot over him or shoot around him.
That's going to be a game. Again, I don't even know when the Nuggets play the Spurs.
It's November 12th, I think. It's on a Sunday.
I am looking forward to that. It's not like I'm thinking, oh, Wemby and Joker. I just want to see how the Nuggets adjust. Like, what I love about NBA and really any sport is how you just adjust team by team. And he is certainly a guy you have to scout for now. He's not just a scoring threat.
Did you see what the Mavs did? They had, like, practice guys with these, like, 10-foot pads.
It's a great idea. I mean, just have them put brooms up and block shots. Like, they used to do it in high school, you know? Mm-hmm. So that way you really work on getting that arc in your shot. On the Mavericks side of things, I mean, Luka, 33 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. He had some plays at the end of that game. His little slow drive that he does, they call it the slow drive, he'll be dribbling in. takes a step, and it's almost like he goes in slow motion, Angel. And then as he's going up to the, he's waiting, and then as he's got one foot up, a guy runs into him. That's when he, you know, he elevates and makes a shot. He came up with some big plays. That was fun. I like the NBA. I'm an NBA guy. It's a, you ought to try it sometime if you're not. It's fun. All right, final hour of the show. Thursday night special. All that and more coming up next. We'll be right back.